The topic today is respecting halachic pluralism, the antidote to sinas chinam. And I'm going to open up with the following statement, perhaps a little bit controversial, whatever. There is no base medrash in the world that I know of. And I'm talking, let's say, post-high school. There is no base medrash in the world that I know of that an individual, well, let's say, let's take the extreme of one-way Ada on the left wing, and the extreme of other way, let's say, Satmar Hasidim, let's say, a group of individuals across the board, within each of those groupings, can come together and learn, and learn and discuss and debate their various opinions. And to me, the lack of a place of that nature, where the person who believes very strongly you can't give back an inch, and the person who believes maybe there shouldn't be a state, and you can take any argument you want, women's issues and so forth, the lack of that place is, Rachmana Litzlan, a continuation of sinas chinam. And if you want a practical development in this regard towards fighting sinas chinam, it's that we should be creating places like that. Now, in pragmatics, I'm not advocating that on the elementary level or high school level. The truth matters, I believe that schools should be immersed in certain shitot. I'm not a pluralist, but that if you don't have a place that people across the spectrum in every shitot are able to be involved in the Shaklan Zahari of Torah on the issues on they disagree with, then you have a problem that has some indications of the problem of sinas chinam. So now that I've presented the basic thesis, let me explain what I mean. Because, let me put it one more way. It's not just the fact we don't have such a place, and it's not just the fact that we don't have the ability to respect others. It's if you don't have such a place, it's impossible to achieve the ultimate goal of Avos Yisrael. In other words, it's not just we don't have that place, is you can't hope for Ava and Akva and real unity in Klal Yisrael without such a place. And that is not because you'll have conformity in action. That's even as each and every person in that place has that shita. So the absence of such a place is not just we don't have it, it's a pagam in our ability to achieve what we should be achieving in terms of Avos Yisrael, and I'm talking within the Torah world. The Gemara in Yuma begins with a statement which we're all familiar with, and that is that the Churban Rishon happened because of three averas, the three cardinal sins of Torah, of Avodah Zarah, idolatry, Gilui Arayos, the major sexual transgressions, and Shefichas Damim. The Migdash Sheni, the Churban Bayis Sheni, occurred because there were people, because they were all oiskim the Torah, the mitzvahs, the gemilas chasadim, but unfortunately, they had sinas chinam. The Gemara goes on to contend that sinas chinam is therefore comparable to the three cardinal sins of Torah. The problem is, what exactly is sinas chinam? The Marsha, basing itself on a later statement, the Gemara points out the fact that people would get together, they would eat and drink together, and then they would attack each other with the daggers of the heart. And the Marsha understands it to mean not that they actually challenged each other, but they acted in such a way that they were friends, they ate and drank together, points to the concept of the Mishnah Hayayin should be a place of fraternity, they all got together. But when they left, they all sort of said that really, I don't like this person, I don't like that person. And he points out that Sinas Chidim is really Sina that is hidden. In other words, he makes a comparison to the famous distinction between the Gazlan and the Ganef, person who openly steals and the person who steals in a hidden manner. He says, Sinas Chinam is the fact that you hide your hate. That's the Marsha's understanding of Sinas Chinam. Netziv, I think because he had a little bit of problem, he says, that's fine, but the Gemara makes a specific point that the problem of Sinas Chinam happened to people who are oiskim b'tara mitzvah segemilas chasadim. Therefore, he has a concern that Sinas Chinam has something to do with being frum. So he has a remarkable response. And this is found in two places in the Netziv. One in Merumei Sada on Yuma, and the other one is a Psicha Tibreishis in Emek Dober. He says, a further problem, Rumei Sada has a further problem, he presents a question that's actually presented a little bit in the Gemara in a roundabout way. He says, and he focuses on the fact that Sinas Chinam cannot just be Sina, cannot just be hatred, specific type of hatred, because let's face it, in the Bayis Rishon, there was Shrichas Damim. People were murdering people. That usually comes about because of hate. So he said there was hate in the first bias. And the second bias is specifically Sinas Chinam. It's a different type of hate. So he says, Sinas Chinam comes about, okay, and he actually says eventually it did lead to Shrichas Damim by the Churban Sheni. But he says the following. He says, when the Shrichas Damim, when there was murder in the first temple, they understood they were doing something asur. This was Machshavas Isser. But in the second temple, Sinas Chinam is because done by Machshavas Mitzvah. They all thought they were righteous with this hatred. Why? Because Shechashu Ze'edzeh L'Tzaduki V'Apikairus. Okay? And Moshe Shal Pidin, Moridim Osam. And therefore all these people with the Sinas Chinam, they all thought that the fact that they hated and the fact that they actually led to Shrichas Damim, it's interesting because the Siv actually says, it's proved out there was clearly Shrichas Damim before the Churban, by Sheni, and he quotes Josephus, says that this is Josephus talked about a tremendous amount of fighting among the Jews. So he says, but the difference was everyone thought that they were right. After all, there's a mitzvah of Soinah the Son of Hashem. There's a mitzvah to hate those who are heretics. Minim apikorsim. Rambam writes that there's an argument what that really means. Whether it's based on the Avera, has to be one of the Yugim Likarim. It's an issue. But the fact is, the Rambam writes Mitzvah Lasono by a person who denies Yugim Likarim. The fact is, therefore, all these people thought they were righteous. Because they all thought that, you know, if you disagreed with me, and the Sikh goes, as he saw anyone who acted anything different in any different way, they immediately assumed that this person must be an Apikoros, a Saduki. Therefore, I have a mitzvah to hate this person. He says, that's Sinas Chinam. Both the Marsha's viewpoint on Sinas Chinam and then the Siv's viewpoint on Sinas Chinam tells us something very important about Sinas Chinam right off the bat. I'll just tell you something, the way he defines it, by the way that Siv says it in his Psichot Vereishis, he says it even stronger. He says, they were, before the Churban, they chayu tzaddikim v'chasidim v'amilei Torah. He says there were tzaddikim and chasidim and amilei Torah, but what were they missing? They weren't yesharim. Because the Sikha de Breishas and the Siv is trying to explain why Breishas is referred to as Sefer HaYosher. And we'll come back to that a little bit later, but the fact is he says that Sinas Chinam is an absence of Yosher. Okay? Yosher b'halichas olamim and how you act in the world. And therefore, because of Sinas Chinam, there were chashu zed zeh If they saw someone who acted differently, there was a Zuki in a mit. So right off the bat, we have to make the following statement about Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam is usually translated as baseless hatred. It's hatred that's not based on anything. From both the Marshan and the Tziv, we have to understand that Sinas Chinam is not really defining where the hatred comes from. It really defines in how you deal with negative feelings. So I choose to define Sinas Chinam not as baseless hatred, but purposeless hatred. It's the incorrect use of the feeling of hatred. And the fact is, as we shall see, is that emotions of hatred, anger, do have a place. The question is how you deal with those emotions, and whether you deal with it in a proper fashion, that applying the concept of Freud in terms of love and hate being two sides of the same coin, that eventually this hate is used to increase Ava and Akva, or whether you allow this hate to be stopped in its status of hate, and that is Sinas Chinam. And that's what the Marsha and the Tziv are pointing to. The Marsha is saying that Sinas Chinam comes about because you try hiding the hate. You act like, oh, we're friends, and then you stick a dagger in the back. Or the Tziv is you try to justify the hate without really taking it to its correct manifestation. And that is basically you say, oh, the other person's a min and not vicarious, and therefore I'll just ignore it. If you look at this in terms of understanding that Sinas Chinam is not baseless or causeless hate, if you understand it to be purposeless hate, if you understand it's the incorrect use of this emotion, you can truly understand better the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. Because if you look at the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, the issue is not why Bar Kamsa was angry. It's pretty understandable why Bar Kamsa is angry. He was embarrassed publicly. The issue is what Bar Kamsa did with his anger. And what he did with his anger was destroy a Beis HaMikdash. The truth is that ultimately, the Marsha says something similar over there, in the sense that he points out that there was no attempt to try and take this and develop peace. There was no attempt to develop any aspect of peace. So it's actually Sinas Chinam is causeless hatred. Is purposeless hatred. And this is further identified by the way Mefarshim understand what is the ultimate chet, what's the ultimate tzivui that deals with Sinas Chinam. So if you look at various individuals, such as the Chavetz Chaim in Avos Yisrael, or the Kadakemach, they all tie Sinas Chinam to the statement of Sasanas Achicha Bilvavecha. That you're not allowed to hate your friend, your brother, in your heart. Bilvavecha. Now, there's a machlokas rishonim of what exactly is this statement. The general opinion, the majority opinion, which is expressed by the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, is that to be over the avera of lotisana es chavercha bilvavecha, to violate lotisana, you have to hide the hatred. It must be bilvavecha. So he says, if you go over and you smack someone, you tell him you're his enemy, you have a fight, you're over a variety of other mitzvahs. But you're not over this mitzvah. And that's justified by the next statement in the pasuk. The pasuk says, lo tasana es havecha bilvavecha, hocheyach tochiyach es amisecha. If you have this feeling, you have to go and inform the other and give reason for why you have this feeling of hatred. You have to go and rebuke. So the Rambam understands ochiach tochiach, to tell you to go and do this, is an explanation also of lotasana es chavercha bavavecha. And therefore, the hate that is also is the hate that is in your heart. And the hate, other hate might be over hatorecha. Come on, but there's other things. But this hate is specifically hate in your heart, and that's sinas chinam. The hate in your heart.
Other Rishonim, the Shiltis, the Ramban, do understand it to be much more general hatred.
But both of them point out the fact that you're not supposed to, Ramban says you're not supposed to hate, but he points out very clearly that in not hating, there is a second part. The second part is how do you diffuse the hatred? Hocheach tochiach es amisecha. So therefore, sinas chinam is when you don't act properly with your feelings. You don't take the next step. You don't go over and rebuke your fellow. It's when the hate is not dealt with in a proper fashion.
Now the truth is, the Chafetz Chaim does develop an argument in Avos Yisrael to try and show the only time you don't do that is when your hate is really unsubstantiated. And it goes to the fact that anyone who doesn't really want to confront someone, it's usually because their hatred really is baseless.
Avos Yisrael does want to go back to, the Chafetz Chaim does go back to some argument why this is ultimately a baseless hatred that leads to a hatred that does not act it upon correctly. However, the fact is that really if you look at Pashut Shat in terms of what the Gemara is leading to and what the other Mepharshim is saying, it's basically hatred that's not dealt with correctly. And therefore we have an obligation that if we feel a certain way within certain parameters, and the parameters of Chayach Tochiach, we are to act on it in a specific fashion. And the way we are supposed to act upon it is by confronting the individual that we have a broiga with. And we see, and that's why Yosef's brothers are praised, in particular that they never hid the fact their feelings were from Yosef, and that is considered to be a great schlus, that they were very open by their feelings. And what does this do? So if you have a negative emotion towards someone, what you are supposed to do is you're supposed to confront them. Now, what happens if you confront them? It means what dynamic is expected if you confront them. It means next step is that you can lead to appeasement. Okay? So the Marsha points out that if you confront someone, eventually what happens is the person has the opportunity to say, I'm sorry. Okay? If you don't confront the individual, then the hatred is allowed to fester. If you go over, the individual is able to say, I'm sorry, made a mistake, and therefore we are able to correct the problem, and therefore there can be love and forgiveness. However, the Malvim and the Netziv also take it to another step. What happens if you go over and you confront someone? What are the possibilities? So one possibility is the person may just get angry, and you can actually foster hatred. So the fact is, that's why the Malbim points out, in order to give tochacha, you have to have individuals who are willing to accept tochacha. So he makes a very important value statement, that part of what we are obligated to do is be individuals who are willing to take tochacha, and there's a lot of tremendous praises for an individual who can take tochacha. But the truth is, if we are not in a state that we're willing to take tochacha, that in a certain way we are fostering the cycle of sinas chinam, because individuals won't be able to give tochacha and create the opportunity for appeasement. So Malbim goes through the ideas over here that it's very important that you want in this confrontation to protect the negative result. So you want to be, you have to make sure the person can accept tochacha, and therefore there's an idea that we have to be in a perception of accept tochacha. The second thing that he says is you have to know how to give tochacha. And this whole idea that we don't give tochacha now because we don't know how to do it. So we have to do it in a manner that is a proper way, that doesn't create embarrassment and so forth. And also we have to be in a mindset that we look at ourselves and figure whether we are able to give tochacha. But that's a very important idea. Because what is the other possibility happens if you go and confront an individual? One possibility is you get angry. One possibility is they'll say, oh, you're right, I'm sorry. What's the third possibility? The third possibility is you said, I did it for this and this reason, and in fact, you were wrong for being chayshik me that I did this and this, that, what you said. So who ends up having to say, I'm sorry? The individual who begins the process of the tochacha. So the fact is that in confrontation, it's not simply a one-way street. There's the possibility of a two-way street. Only in confrontation is there the possibility that you are then going to open yourself up to the possibility that you'll be criticized. The possibility that you did something wrong. And therefore, in confrontation, dialogue, and debate, it can come full circle that you learn something new. And therefore, the idea of confrontation just doesn't take us back to the first step of a simple peace. This idea of confrontation can actually create a new level, a new understanding, because you thought you were a tzaddik before. Because now you've learned that you've made mistakes. So in the end, you can reach a higher level in the sense that you've learned something new. So why is it that we don't do this? What prevents us from this very simple formula? We should have a community that is based on tochacha. A community that welcomes full-heartedly, in a proper fashion, individuals giving rebuke or basically saying, here's an idea, I think you might have done this wrong, and therefore you come back and say, well, no, I didn't do it wrong, actually you were mistaken in your idea. We live in a world that we're afraid to say almost anything to anyone. Even myself, I see clear lack of knowledge on individuals, and it takes a tremendous amount of concern, first of all, to figure out how to approach the individual. Be very, very careful that an individual is not mistaken and not going to be hurt. But the fact is we're all afraid to do it. We're all afraid of rebuke, and we're all afraid of giving rebuke. We just hold our emotions in. And therefore we have seen a sinah. So what prevents us from doing it? What makes us not do this? So the fact is Shem Shofar Hirsch says something very interesting. He makes a distinction between Churban Bayis Rishon and Churban Bayis Sheni. He says in Churban Bayis Rishon, the problem was pleasure seeking. He sought pleasure. Usually that can lead to Avodah Zarah, Shefichas Damim, and Gilui Arayos. But what was the big desire at the Churban Bayis Sheni? It was self-seeking. They themselves, they wanted to feel important. And nothing makes you feel more important than feeling that you have the knowledge of God's will. That's the tremendous problem of religion. That's why people attack religion. Because the greatest evil can only come about from individuals who actually think that they are just doing what God wants them to do. But really it's not God, it's self. God is convenient because he happens to say a couple lines that you can hop onto and do what you want to do. We're always following halacha to support what we feel in the first place, right? So Shem Shofar Hirsch says that it's self-seeking. That if you place yourself above everything else, then you can't be chocheyach tochiyach because either you're afraid of what's going to come back. If you go and give tochacha to someone else, you think that that shows real self-righteousness because you want to go give tochacha to someone else, but the fact it doesn't. Because A, you're afraid what you're going to get back, and B, you've already judged the other person not to be worthy of your tochacha because it's not bikkuris in the min anyways. The point is that to really understand tochacha, you have to understand the verse. Lo tesana es achicha, hochoyach tochiyach zamisecha.
So what is pointed out by Mefurshim is that why is the ultimate reason you're doing Tochacha? For the sake of the community. And this is understanding, is the Tziv's understanding of the word Yosher. That if you want to be a Yosher like the Avot, it's because you want to be careful about the community. Not only the Jewish community, but the Olam, but the world community. And therefore, what is above the self? Ultimately, mankind. And therefore, you approach others because it's not a question of self, it's a question of the overall good of the world. And that includes caring for the other. You want to care for the other, that's why you give tochacha. And you want the other to care for you, and you want to care for the entire community. So you understand that Sinas Chinam is the coldest form of hatred. The coldest form of hatred. It's a hatred that basically doesn't lead anywhere. It stops as hatred. It just festers inside. And these people can be gomlei chesed, they can be remarkably giving people on the surface, but down deep inside themselves, if anyone crosses them, if they see something that they don't understand, if they see another shita, you're not bikiris in a min. And therefore, I don't have to be gairis you. Okay. Because the fact is that it's permitted to hate a Russia. So I make everyone into a Russia and get away with my hatred. Now, I'm going to say, we're just talking, there are issues involved in this. The fact is that there is a mitzvah of hating a Russia. So the fact is, there's at some point in time where eventually someone's an apikaris and a min, and there's a concept of reading Evain Malin to an apikaris and a min. So the fact is, you have to understand that there is halachic issues involved here of a very precise nature. And the fact is, there's a lot of mafortune to say that, for example, the idea of hating a Russia is only after you give tochacha. And he rejects tochacha after a few times. He never gives tochacha, then there's no concept of being thrown at him. There's a Rambam statement in terms of the statement we understand in terms of Bali Tshuva, that if a person is not responsible for their actions, that he's not be cursed in a min. The fact or you can love them and so forth. There's the Chazanish's concept that without Nisim Galuyim, someone's not be cursed in a min. The point is eventually we understand, there's an understanding of this, that there is a halachic issue here, a very precise halachic issue. Even as I talk about in terms of that base medrash, that I think is an ideal, I recognize that someone's got to draw the line somewhere.